Guten Tag, ladies and men of the gentle disposition. Welcome back to Tango TV's premier talk show program B, episode 9, where today we'll be talking about genres and labels, which I guess calls for a bit of clarification. It's not exactly a one-word sort of heading, like speedrunning or the like. We'll basically be looking at certain definitions that the community has prescribed to certain aspects of map design, or indeed genres in maps, such as Sandbox, Slaughterfest, which is actually quite a recent one. Then the things that are inherent in all games outside of Doom, such as linearity and the like, which I guess is, again, not specific to Doom, but something we can discuss in today. In addition, of course, to Crowcaster Tarnsman goes without saying, we have Sir Pavera.
Hi.
Who was on the first episode of Tango TV's program B, so I'm coming.
Yes, right. I was.
Indeed.
I was indeed on that episode, and I'm glad to be back on the show, finally. It's been a long time.
This is most excellent news.
Yes.
Now,
I believe it's official. I'm being referred to as Sideshow Pavera at this point.
I think it is.
I saw that in the thread.
I think I said that, which almost begs that you return.
It cast a large grin upon my face.
This is, again, excellent news times two. So let's just get, I guess this is a two-pronged discussion. One aspect, the definitions of some of these labels. The other is a sort of more ethereal point, I guess, that perhaps there's not much room for discussion there, but we could work it in if we possibly could, about whether it's troublesome to use labels, or you can missell a map, or perhaps keeping those labels in mind when you're mapping can actually hamper something or get in the way. The problems, basically, of referring to maps by this sort of pigeonholing maps.
The pigeonhole principle.
The pigeonhole principle is essentially what it's talking about. Let's take a definition, have a list of things we'll be talking about here. Tags. And linearity is one that always comes into contention. Again, it's not specific to Doom, but there have been a number of threads in the past and a number of definitions given, which I thought were quite sound by many members of the community when it comes to linearity. Because I recall when I was doing a new stuff review for one of 40 Ounce's birthday maps, and I called the map linear. Wasn't intended to be a pejorative. And then he called me up saying, what exactly does this mean? Like, what do you mean when you say linear? What do you think is the best definition for linearity?
Well, you know what's funny about linearity is that, like, it's such a broad term. Like, really, like, when you really get technical about it, you could say anything is linear. I mean, you can say Grand Theft Auto 3 is linear in the sense that you go from one mission to the next until you hit the end of the game. Even though you can run around and kill people all you want, it's still linear in that sense. However, when it comes to Doom, you always have an ultimate goal, which is to finish the map. Maybe that goal involves killing all the monsters in it and finding all the secrets, but at the end of the day, you're going to pick up the keys and hit the switches and, cross the exit line. And in a sense, that could be considered linearity. And I've been thinking about it, and, I've come to the decision that I think it might be a better way to refer to it as maybe, like, deterministic or non-deterministic map design, where, like, well, yeah, because
I guess
if you
that
think
speaks
about it,
less about the route that you take and more about the destination, doesn't it?
Right. If you have a deterministic route, that means there is going to be, like, one defined path between each goal to the end. But a non-deterministic map design means, you can hit the blue key, and then you can go in any number of ways to get to the red key, and so forth.
I would agree with that. I mean, in the strictest sense, every single Doom map ever made of all time is objectively linear. If you say they're not, you're just wrong.
There's that catchphrase again.
Catchphrase.
No, you're just wrong. You start at a set point, and you have to get to a set end, all right? There's only one example where the map is not entirely, as an encompassing whole, linear, and that's maps with secret exits. So, but even then, that's a linear path in that you start at the exact same starting position every single time, and the end position is always the exact same end position. You just have two different end positions.
You have two final states.
But when people talk about linearity in Doom design, they're talking about the perceived feeling of linearity.
Perceived linearity, yeah. That's a term that Jodwin actually came up with, or I think used in a thread a couple of months ago, if not last year.
Right. The difference it almost kind of
can feel non-linear, even though you know the map's looping around in itself, and it feels like you could potentially be taking multiple different routes, but really are heading the exact same way every time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
and
something that I think many mappers look for in the maps, and it's quite prevalent in back to the next. I guess keep coming around to that map set. I think it's
damn it. Yeah. Why don't we come up with a new example? I don't know. Doom 2 the way it did. Oh, wait. Same team.
with Back to Saturn X, there are several maps that are 100% linear. Like, you never deviate from a set path.
Total exposure. They might feel.
Total exposure. Yeah, they don't feel. It's disguising. Okay. And going back to our discussion on 2002 and Doom Odyssey and how we complain about things in 2002 at Doom Odyssey that when you take them at their most basic form is just the exact same thing in every, you know, Doom map. Go here, hit switch, acquire key, get to exit. They're not dressed up in a way that makes it feel like you're doing something different.
So is that to say that linearity really doesn't matter as long as you disguise it well enough?
It's as long as the map is fun to play, it's nearly impossible to do something that is totally nonlinear. You'd have to use some extreme scripting to make the player always start in a different location and always end in a different location. So it's all about giving the player as many options in between point A and point B. Mm-hmm. And even then, there's nothing wrong with making a map that is entirely linear. I mean, The Living End is my favorite Doom 2 map, and it is entirely linear. At no point are you ever branching off.
But it's also not... You can't be perceived as being linear. In other words, it doesn't disguise it in any way, because it really is... Well, it does, sort of, because you do...
It does
kind of double-backing yourself in places, but it is more or less just working your way around the outside in a clockwise fashion.
Well, I've also got this idea in my mind that I guess kind of fits into this subject, and it's what recently came up, and I think it was in that thread about vanilla megawatts, and a 40-ounce said something... Like, you know, this map feels less like it's going from point A to point B to point C, and more like one giant point A. And then I think Android says, you know, backed him up on that, too. But, like, did you guys have any sort of...
I did catch a glimpse of it, yeah.
...opinion as to what he... Maybe what he meant by that, or how you perceived that argument?
I think Tom's been trying to... I think you had something to say on that previously, didn't you?
Yeah, there's just really no way for me to discuss that because I just don't agree with it at all. I mean, Android retorted to what I was talking about with, like, some examples of, like, how when you're going, you know, you're hitting different keynotes instead of, you know, constantly looping into the same structure. And then he listed stuff like Mac 29 as an example of that where, no, because in, like, let's compare navigating flood regions from Back to Saturn X with The Living End. And navigating flood regions, you go out into an open area with the yellow key door and the blue key door in it. It essentially acts as a hub for the map. And this is point A. In The Living End, you enter a gigantic cavern structure and start there. That's point A. Then in navigating flood regions, you branch off to a new area that you will loop back again through. So we'll call this point B. So you're going to revisit point A and point B in navigating flood regions, right? And then in The Living End, you go off to point B, which loops you around and then takes you to point A again as you continue to go around this gigantic thing in a clockwise motion. You're always staying within the confines, for the most part, of this big central area, which is still point A. And then in navigating flood regions, you go to point C to get a key. You never go back to point C, so you're never reconnecting to that. And then you go back to point A, to point D, which you never revisit, which then takes you back to point A again, to point E, which you never revisit, and so that's where that argument.
We're gonna go through the whole alphabet here.
Yeah, because you're constantly entering areas that you go to once, so there definitely is a journey aspect. Like, if somebody wants to argue that the gigantic lowering nukage area or the cyber demon pillar area with the black sky are exactly the same as the starting opening area, well, they're just objectively wrong. Like, that's not even
argument.
You're just wrong.
Well, I don't
like that there's not enough difference between those areas, but they're not the same thing.
as flimsy a term as linearity is, although I perhaps I'm making some headway on this. I think when you say that, Android, I think in that post was speaking not of linearity, but specifically about whether something was a journey, and I guess that disregards entirely whether something's linear or not. It can feel like a journey whether or not you've been there one time or multiple times or what have you. It could feel like more or less, depending on how it's executed. So I think that's entirely up to taste, and less about being objectively wrong, but subjectively wrong.
There's no such thing as being subjectively wrong. There is, I don't like this because it doesn't feel like a journey to me. That's correct. There's, but this is not this because this map, which does all the same things, like The Living End loops on itself a lot. You do backtracking, you stay in one spot and branch off to do other things multiple times. Any Romero map does that. So saying that quality is what makes a map a journey, and this map, which does those exact same things, isn't a journey because of those same things that this other map also does, is where I have a problem with it.
Uh-huh. You know,
there's a difference between, like, if I said I don't like the color blue, so I don't like the sky, but then I said I like the ocean because it's blue, but the sky isn't blue, so it sucks.
It's wrong.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I actually kind of think, now that I think it a little bit more, that linearity is, I mean, it's probably easy to discuss the many ways in which a map can be nonlinear, like focusing on that definition rather than linearity. Because, I mean, we could just narrow linearity down and agree upon a point very quickly. And it's when we get to nonlinearity where we sort of, the discussion really gets going, I feel.
We could use the most generally understood definition of nonlinearity and just think of it as a map where you can gather all three keys in different orders and they all return you to the end where, you know, the three door bars are different keys, like, you know, Citadel type stuff.
Yeah, no, with nonlinearity, there's multiple different ways. Again, every map's going to be linear in the sense if you're going from a set start to a set end, but it's all about how many different ways you can go from that set start to that set end.
Right.
Like, I would consider stuff like downtown where, you know, all the key objectives are done in a very...
You would consider that linear, would you?
No, I wouldn't consider that linear. I consider that a non-linear progression because, like, the blue key, you can do some different ways after acquiring the blue key to get to the blue key door, and there's optional areas that you don't have to go to, and it's just all this stuff that makes the player be able to play the map they want to, the way they want to, or like with Industrial Zone, or really any map with a large open area that allows you to tackle a single situation how you feel like it.
Right. Like, so I mean, it's not just about layout with respect to where areas relate to each other and how you go to objectives. It's actually to do with the geometry of the map as well.
Yeah,
you can just you take a straight line and then widen it out. And then suddenly the monsters are being tackled tackle them in multiple different ways. And then does that fall into like the non-linear category? Can you then say that this is now a non-linear map? Because although the objectives remain completely the same, the area is now widened out, the geometry is so much faster that you can tackle situation in multiple different ways just through movement alone. I mean, could you say that map's become non-linear there? Or is it just about objectives?
No, it's entirely about gameplay. Objectives are what drives the gameplay, but... Okay, you said a box. Well, I wouldn't agree with the box, but like if you were to make a box and then put like other smaller boxes in those boxes,
it'd be a terrible map. Yeah. Oh wait, no, don't tell.
But yeah, basically, if you have extra stuff in there to really like change things out, like think of Trapped on Titan from the Master levels. You have this like weird city section in the map where you can just run around and fight things in whatever order you feel like. It's more like that. You know, if you just have a box full of monsters, yeah, you can, you know, herd them or fight them.
So, we're saying, like, we're talking, you know, Starstruck Inc. or The Pit.
Hey!
As compared to...
It's a quarantine.
What? Oh, it's not Starstruck Inc. anymore? It's quarantine?
No. I made a mistake calling that apparently anyway.
Oh, right, really?
I knew that it was going to get changed.
I had accepted it. but, you know, as compared to maybe, like, Nirvana?
Uh-huh.
Would you call Nirvana a linear map, or would that be non-linear sense still?
Nirvana's a pretty linear map.
Yeah, I would say. Even though it does have, like, the same kind of boxy openness at least in the areas.
See, I think that fits into the setup that I was hypothesizing earlier. The objective remains the same, but because of the way in which the rooms are shaped and everything, you can tackle it in multiple different ways. And I guess I'd feel comfortable in saying that it had a perceived non-linearity about it, even though it was linear.
Yeah,
I feel like the definition of non-linear that we're getting at here is like any map that requires a heavy bout of exploration to reach the goal. You know, like an E1M7 type of thing, computer station. Mm-hmm. That's what it's called, right? I've always thought of E1M7 as like the perfect example of a quote-unquote nonlinear map to me, because it's the kind of map that you just get lost in, you know, until you finally come to the end.
Right. No. And the perceived nonlinearity, it's like dressing up how Doom is not a game about hitting switch and then hitting another switch and then hitting a third switch.
Yes.
Pretty much. Like, there is a advantage to dressing it up, but at the same time, and it must be stated, like, balance and, you know, diversity in maps, to where people, like, jump on linearity like it's an evil term and like, oh god, it's linear, so it's automatically shit.
Mm-hmm.
And when they really shouldn't be, like, I think linearity gets a bad rep.
Well, you know what's funny is that, you know, linearity gets such a bad rap, but then you get a map set like 40 Ounces' first episode of UAC Ultra 2, which is like one big experiment in non-linearity to the extreme, where it's literally, here's this map, and let me also, you know, hide a bunch of, like, just stuff that I made one time in here and make it this huge non-linear fest that you get lost in. And that was very... That was not very well received by, like, a large majority of the community.
I didn't enjoy the first episode of UDC Ultra 2, but it had nothing to do with the linearity of the map.
Right. I liked it, personally. Yeah, I found it to be...
And the texture usage. It's just, I visually looked like shit to me. Like, not that it was grungy, but, like, it just looked, like, pixelated and unpleasant to look at. To the point where that, you know, people, visuals aren't the most important thing in a map. High detail visuals, no, but a map has to at least be, like, pleasant to look at. Like, if I'm looking at a map and it's, like, just offensively ugly in every way,
right,
shape, and form.
Right. Okay. Very good. Let's take a look at some genres. And now that I think about it, I think there's potential in this discussion to... I mean, there's a heck of a lot of labels that I probably haven't thought of that we could get into for future episodes. I think we'll just narrow it down for today and just keep it to a select number. We'll take a look at some genres now. I think linearity is something that deserves its own goddamn episode at this rate. Slaughterfest. Talk about Slaughterfest and other genres that you can think of.
Slaughterfest.
There are certain connotations that come to mind when you think of a Slaughterfest map. I guess one who actually prefers that sort of style of play over another.
It is certainly a genre made for a certain mindset. Like, it's something, it's definitely an acquired taste, which I have not acquired. When I think of a Slaughterfest, I think of a giant map with 1,000 monsters in it, and there's mega spears everywhere, and they're all, like, tactically placed in a way that, like, oh, if I pick one up, I've already boned the whole map, or something, and it's just not for me, man. Not for me. But what's funny about it is that, like, I almost think of it, I was talking to, I talked to 40 Ounce the other day on Skype.
we come back to 40 Ounce.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite prevalent in the Tango TV department. We should really just hire
the guy. We really should. You should, because I'm not employed. But
gotcha.
We were talking about slaughter maps in general, and he was telling me that he's been starting to get into it lately, see kind of what people see in them, and it's almost like the inverse of how we perceive, like, great map design, where we think about layouts and, like, interconnectivity, height variation, and all that stuff. But, like, these maps are designed from the bottom up to only utilize the way, like, monster behavior. You know, it's like that is the core design element of a slaughter map. It's the way monsters are set up, the way weapons are placed in a very specific way so that you have to, like, you know, train them around and this and that or whatever. And, you know, visual design and even, like, layout design really kind of almost comes second place to it, which is interesting. It's almost, it's like a different taste.
So, okay, so the term slaughter map, you think, pertains entirely to almost to monster placement and gameplay, and it speaks absolutely nothing of the layout.
Well, maybe not absolutely nothing. I mean, you do have...
I mean, to my mind, it does entail boxes. Very large boxes, necessarily.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
because when you have that sort of monster placement, it demands that your rooms almost be shaped in a certain way. You certainly are restricted.
But see, here's where, when you say that it doesn't pertain, like it pertains strictly to gameplay but not to layout, I think that's
just
an entirely odd way of thinking.
Right.
Because layout is entirely tied to gameplay. Like, Favera was talking about, you know, what we perceive as good map design is layout and interconnectivity.
Yeah.
Well, those things all impact how the player moves through the map, and they influence where the monsters are placed, and generally I find myself enjoying a map that has interconnectivity and stuff like that, because it gives the map a better sense of space, it has more flow to it, I like changing directions. It also allows for monsters to be placed in, you know, sniping positions. A lot more crossfires going on. With slaughter maps are something where it's entirely a matter of taste, because everything I hate about slaughter maps is what somebody who loves slaughter maps likes. So it's one of those things where one person likes one thing and another person likes another thing, and the wonderful advantages of having such a diverse community is that each person can, you know, do whatever they want. You know, so the same thing with any type of thing, like texturing. Some people like minimalist texturing. Some people like Torm-esque detail.wad. And so, you know, I think that any aspect of Doom is not defined so much as, you know, these are features that everybody likes, but these are, you know, the things that make this up, and this is why I like it. Whereas with slaughter maps, people like to have to herd a lot of monsters around. They like to have to, you know, constantly be dodging a million projectiles, and I agree with them on the dodging aspects of slaughter mapping, but I don't find it enjoyable, because, like, if I think of any given scenario in a slaughter map, half the monsters are going to kill themselves in infighting, or it's just going to be a giant herd of
one of
monsters.
Death's three lines.
Three lines, yeah, exactly. And, you know, there is definitely an interest in, you know, using monster infighting when it's done well. Alfonso, I think he's rectified it by now, but your 100-line map, which had, like, no ammo in it, was really fun because I had to use infighting in order to get everything to kill itself.
That was PHML's map. Just have to shoehorn that in before I...
Oh, well, Time of Death also made that map with the Cyber Demon. And
oh, that's right. That's where I'm getting confused.
No, it was definitely Time of Death's map. yes, there was also PMHL's map. But, yeah, so that's like, when I think of slaughter maps, I definitely think of them negatively, but only because there is definitely a heavily ingrained set of standards that every slaughter map follows, and I think that's important to note, because when we think of labels and whatnot in the Doom community, there are definitely ones like linearity, which I think we just throw around willy-nilly, but then there are other ones like slaughter maps, where it is definitely a clearly defined genre that, you know...
Almost. I mean, yeah, half and half. I think, because the question I was about to ask is, do you think that when someone who likes the genre versus someone who doesn't hears the term slaughterfest, do you think they're necessarily thinking of the same points, but that they just have differing opinions on them? Or do you think that there are certain connotations that are acknowledged by someone who doesn't like slaughter maps, that when they hear the term slaughterfest, think of certain things?
I think that when I open a map, I can tell right away it's going to be a slaughter. Because of the way it... just the way it opens up to you, it's like, instead of you are progressively making your way through this level and things are, you know, slowly happening to you and it's very atmospherically paced and blah, 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 it's like, here is the level presented to you in your, right here, right now, go. And that's kind of how I think of a slaughter map. Well, at least when I see a map open up like that, I can be like, right away, okay, this is a slaughter fest because there's a mega spear sitting right in front of me. You know, fuck this, because I don't want to play that.
I would say that its most basic form, a slaughter map, is constant slaughter. But there are plenty of slaughter maps that do have atmospheric starts before they just shit on you with all the stuff. I think that definitely, when I think of everything I don't like about a slaughter map...
Oh, map shop 2, map 1, by the way.
slaughter map.
Combat Shock 2 map 1, yeah, that wasn't really much of a slaughter, though. I wouldn't consider it a slaughter.
Well, it turned into a slaughter map halfway through.
I guess we're speaking with respect to the actual map set rather than just the map.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But, no, with the slaughter maps, like, if you say slaughter map, I guarantee that, like, the things that I don't like are probably what people like about it. Like, people say they like fighting gigantic hordes of monsters, and I generally don't, because the fights go on for a long time, I'm trapped in one environment for a long time, it's just, I don't find it enjoyable, so, I mean, I can't really see anything beyond, like, long, dynamic, interesting fights as the main draw, if the draw is, in fact, gameplay, so... I wouldn't really know of any way to think of different things that I dislike and like versus what somebody dislikes and likes, because they have to be the same simply because I dislike the core principle of a slaughter map.
Well, what about maps that have a slaughter in them? Like that big green map in Deus Ex 2 or Tusken River or anything like that?
Again, it's all about, like, it's about saturation. Like, Alfonso and I have mentioned, particularly in terms of, like, Interception and other maps and stuff like that, like, when you start putting a Cyber Demon on every level, it, like, it brings down Cyber Demon encounters because they lose their value. Yeah, it desensitizes
you.
And that's how I kind of feel about slaughter elements. Like, if a slaughter map is, like, one map in a map set, like, Go-To-It in Platonia or whatever, I generally can tolerate it a lot more. I mean, I don't like Go-To-It, but I don't like Go-To-It because it's map one and I really don't find it that interesting and it's not that hard.
Is Go-To-It considered a slaughter map?
It's first.
Considered, yeah.
Is it
definitive?
Is it really? Oh. Yeah. The, like, thing that you compare which slaughter maps to, whatever words coming from my mouth.
General noise.
Segueing from Plutonia, or not from, from slaughter maps into Plutonia, using the, you know, community applying labels to certain things, where I would definitely say that the community has a firm agreement on what makes a slaughter map, versus, you know, how our, you know, we just discussed that linearity gets thrown around a lot, but I don't think it gets
used correctly.
So you don't
think Slaughterfest is something that's in contention?
No, I think that's pretty cool.
I probably agree with you. On the other hand, perhaps there are aspects of slaughter maps, Slaughterfest. I keep saying that. Yeah, that's because that's the map set, isn't it? Slaughterfest. That's right. There are aspects of a slaughter map that there are certain connotations for, or like when you think of the term, you think of that aspect of the slaughter map that perhaps the community hasn't like accented enough, but they're true of all slaughter maps. Like, for example, the length. I guess that's perhaps a more obvious one that many people are aware of. I guess we've also discussed layout, that sort of thing, and how rooms are going to be shaped around the gameplay, that sort of thing. Are there any other aspects of slaughter maps you think probably deserve more discussion?
There are moments where just killing a shit ton of monsters is fun, but it's mainly like if you open a door and you get BFG 100 zombie men and shit like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't take too much of your time, but it's
so
fun.
Difficulty versus enjoyability, then.
Difficulty versus enjoyability, but I think based on what has been generally agreed upon in the community and just for the genre as a whole, a slaughter map can't really have that because a slaughter map is about fighting mid to high tier monsters en masse.
Mm-hmm. So you think it's possible... Well, and that's it's interesting because I was just thinking of something and I doubt that could be the case that if you had a map that was almost entirely comprised of lower tier and wasn't challenging at all, but it was an absolute breeze to go through and it consisted of about 15,000 monsters, you'd still consider
it something to say
simply because of the quantity of monsters in there, wouldn't you?
No, I would not consider it a slaughter map. I consider it a long-as-fuck boring map, but I wouldn't consider it a slaughter map.
I want to make a remark. You've kind of brought up like how slaughter maps are generally time-consuming because of the size and just like difficulty of the encounters. You know, you're fighting off lots of barons or lots of whatever demons.
Right.
With, you know, rocket launching bad guys with you know, often a BFG or a rocket launcher, and it almost kind of makes me think, like, do slaughter maps highlight the more, like, archaic and kind of tired or jaded aspects of Doom's gameplay, where, like, other forms of maps, like the quicker, you know, quicker, shorter maps that, you know, I tend to prefer, are better because they take less of my time.
I'd say it comes down to personal taste, but I think that saying that a slaughter map is defined as a slaughter map based on how long it takes is incorrect. I'd say that a slaughter map is based on slaughter map because it has a majority of the map comprised of slaughter-based gameplay. Like, it could be a five-minute slaughter map and consisting of two encounters that are just balls fucking, like, 90
rounds. Sorry, I'm confused in terms of, because then why isn't my example of having thousands and thousands of lower tier monsters that are easy to breeze through? Why doesn't that classify as a slaughter
because
map?
Because I wouldn't classify because... I mean,
does it inherently have to have some difficulty to it or something?
It inherently has to be mid-tier monsters that, like, can take a bit more hits, I think, because, I
mean... That's something I didn't know when you're talking about the definition. That's not something I would have thought of. I just would have thought purely of quantity and violence.
Yeah,
that's one aspect to it. There's, like, nothing to do. I mean, it's true that it's true what you say, that is the case with most slaughter maps, that it is comprised of mid-tier monsters.
I mean, there are, you know, slaughter maps that use a lot of, you know, low-tier monsters, but they're always, like, just, like, ammo chews. Like, you'll release 1,000 imps, and then there's 500 revenants behind you, and you got to, like, the imps are just there to act basically like demons. They go there to body block you and nothing more. And that's, like, kind of think is a slaughter map is more about, you know, the perceived challenge. I don't find slaughter maps that challenging because either they're in-fight heavy and really easy, or they just turn into save-load things for me, where it's like, oh, whatever.
It's come down to the point now where, like, if I open a map and I see it has, you know, 1,500 monsters, I'm probably just going to resolve myself to the fact that I won't be completing this map and close it.
Pretty much, but, no, I think that slaughter maps are at least, you know... There does have to be a challenge in it, simply because the community that slaughter maps are made for, that's what they want, is what they perceive as a challenge.
Yeah, at the end of the day, a slaughter map is made by somebody who makes maps according to their own taste, you know? They have a taste for that kind of map, and so that's what they make.
Now, I guess, since at the start of the episode I was talking about how this could be a two-pronged discussion, I think this is perhaps an opportunity, now that we're talking about a genre-specific label here, to sort of branch into that second aspect and saying, is it ever... this hypothetical situation, if you yourself made a slaughter map, judging by the definitions we've discussed today, would you choose to advertise it as a slaughter map? Like, in order to call upon those who sort of like that genre to come along and play it, or would you... would you do away with that entirely and try to sell it on different points or something in order to open up?
Oh, I mean, I think if I went into making a map, me personally considering it a slaughter map, then yeah, I'd probably come out and say, yeah, this is a slaughter map.
Right. Would because you go into then, it I mean, thinking of it as a slaughter map? Like in mind?
Well, I've never done that before, so I...
No, I guess not.
I guess it depends on the genre.
I would say that you'd absolutely have to. I mean... Okay, if you're going to make something that, you know, has all these elements that are defined to one specific genre, like, you can't just make a movie and then all of a sudden accidentally became a horror movie. Like, you know, you know what you're making going into it. Like, you're going to, like, okay, I'm going to shoot this scene, it's going to be atmospheric, it's going to have a sense of dread. You're like, you can't just make horror scenes and be like, oh, I made a comedy. You'll know what you're making while you're making it. Now, you could, like, change directions in the middle of the map, but I don't think it's physically possible for somebody to be in the middle of spamming, like, 700 revenants in a room and being like, oh, wait, is this a slaughter map? Gee, guys, I don't know.
No, I mean, there are those points where, like, you go into making a map and, you know, you kind of have a plan in your head, but, like, you're kind of winging it, too, and the monster count goes from 100 to 200 to 250 to 300, and it's just like, wow, this is getting really big.
Well, okay, Tarnsman, sorry, I have to jump in here, because when you were just speaking there, Tarnsman, and you did a fantastic job of making me sound stupid when I posed that question, but then it occurred to me there's a difference between what a label is and what a filmmaker or a map maker might have in mind, right? When he says, okay, I want this film to be scary. He's not saying in his mind, I want it to be a horror film. That's for the public to decide and put a smack a label on. He's saying, I want it to be frightening. This is how I'm going to direct it. It's going to be scary like this. Do you think there might be a problem to having that label horror in mind? And there might be like certain baggage coming with that term that as a filmmaker, or since now we're talking about Doom Maps, as a map maker, might weigh it down.
No, with a broad label like that or Slaughter Map. If it was a specific genre or subgenre, or not a specific subgenre, like, I'm going to make an interconnected, extremely architecturally heavy map, like, focusing a large, broad architecture, whatever, and they were focusing on specific designs like that, to where, you know, like, I'm going to make a slasher movie, or I'm going to make, you know, not just a horror movie, but a specific type of movie, then, yeah, I think there is, you know, some detrimental flaws that could come about from trying too hard to, you know, follow a cookie-cutter brand list, if you will. But with something like a Slaughter Map, Pavera gave the example of, you know, monster usage can get out of hand. Oh, it absolutely can. Something like Helix from Plutonia Revisited has something like 500 monsters in it. But at the same time, Helix isn't really a Slaughter Map. It's just a long fucking map with a lot of monsters in it. And I think that's a big depth. Like, if you took an E1 map and you just made it 500 times longer to where it had 5,000 monsters in it, it wouldn't be a Slaughter Map. It'd just be a really fucking long E1 map.
Right. I guess it's the quantity of monsters versus, like,
density.
Density, that's
density,
right. Density
of the monsters.
This is what I was going to go and say.
Density.
Ah.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Density. So, you know, what about sandboxes?
Interesting.
We were talking about sandboxes earlier and, you know, during non-linearity, and I was wondering what the heck is a sandbox. I mean, I know, I guess, kind of what it is, but then again, like, what does that mean?
Would you say this is a term that is, like Slaughterfest, in your opinion, not up, ready for contention?
No, I would say it's a term like linearity to where, like, for Doom the way it, or Doom 2 the way it did, I made a map 10 reservoirs as a sandbox thing. When you say sandbox, you specifically think of suburbs and downtown. But but it is a sandbox in that you can go any direction you want and you just need to find the end. But it's not a sandbox. When people think sandbox, you generally think of an all-encompassing border around the map and then stuff inside of that border versus, like, a bunch of connected rooms that you can visit in any order.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, where's the line between sandbox and, you know, not sandbox?
Nobody's gonna argue that a map that's a straight line is a sandbox.
Well, yeah, but would you call a map like the Garrison a sandbox?
Okay, I think the term sandbox speaks less to the objectives that the player has to do. I think when the term sandbox comes in, it is to speak of that kind of nonlinearity that demands more of the layout and the geometry, such that it's open. It's entirely about being open plan.
Yeah.
So a sandbox is a map that you just go to it in. There's no, like, you know, it's not like the focus where, like, all right, I run down the hall, press the button, go get the blue key, come around. That's not a sandbox.
A sandbox map is a map that has scattered objectives that between those objectives demands that you make use of a wide open space.
Okay, so I'm thinking, like, a map like the Citadel where, you know, there's keys in it, but in between there, you're going to find some secrets, you're going to kill some monsters, you're going to run into some weird, odd places that, you know,
I wouldn't regard
whatever.
It as a sandbox, yeah.
Or you would?
I would not.
In the strictest sense of, see, I agree that a sandbox really is a all-encompassing box with stuff inside of it. That's why it's called a sandbox. It looks like a sandbox.
Right.
Obviously. Whereas, you know, there are several maps that if you just took away that all-encompassing exterior and just connected them in, like, a Tom Hall E2M7 or E2M2 way, it would still be the same map in terms of progression and non-linearity, but you would lose that free roam open exterior that constitutes the box of sand.
So a sandbox has to be something like Mount Erebus, where you kind of like that, but the Citadel wouldn't be considered one of those because it's one big building?
to me, it's more of a gray area. I mean, that's why before I get the definition, I was talking exclusively about how the term sandbox speaks more to the layout and the geometry and the space that you're provided with. I mean, at the same time, I think it's also a term that's evolved quite a bit. I mean, traditionally, sandbox, you think of sandbox games, like, outside of Doom as well, like,
I mean, honestly, I really...
They have borders.
I really, well, that's, like, what I think of, I mean, in the modern sense of a sandbox is, like, the Red Dead Redemptions of the world and stuff like that, but, like,
yeah.
I hadn't really heard the term applied to Doom until I started working on Doom 2 the way it did, honestly, like... with the sandy box being thrown around, and even then, I guess I was kind of misunderstanding the term.
Well, I think the term has actually evolved in the Doom community to be somewhat different than it is outside of Doom, clearly. You can get rid of the borders in a Doom map, of the kind that you would see in downtown and suburbs, and still consider it to be a sandbox map by the way the player moves about it.
Okay.
Well, see, that's kind of where I think that, no, a sandbox really does have to be a square or rectangle, but an encompassing box.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise,
so?
Yeah, because then you get into this really muddy, like, well, is it, isn't it? I mean, because, yeah, like, you would never consider E2M2 a sandbox, would you, even though you could go through it the same way you could downtown, because it doesn't have a very wide open...
No, it doesn't have the necessary layout slash geometry that you can move.
Are there any maps... besides IWOD maps or any maps in the Doom 2 the way it did collection that would come to your mind if you said sandbox?
Map 27 of Heroes Tales is definitely a sandbox map.
I'm not familiar with that.
I'll pull
that off
the top of my head, but
yeah.
We'll have a look at it. More specific. Must have played that recently.
Map 24 of Eternal Doom is another... yes and no.
Map 27 of Eternal Doom 4 speeds the shrine.
Shrine. That's, yeah, I was thinking of that one, but I was afraid to say it because I obviously don't understand this
I don't know. See, that's another one where it has sandboxy areas, but I wouldn't say the map as a whole is a sandbox.
I mean,
like, the end area in the shrine is very sandboxy, where you have that, like, open exterior, and you have rivers and stuff connecting it. I'd say that's about half and half. I think a sandbox more specifically speaks to geometry than anything else.
So we're talking basically the city maps of Doom 2.
This is the difference between me and Tonsman. He would say that's, correct me if I'm wrong, you'll say that's a sandbox in the truest sense of the word. And I would say that's a traditional sandbox, and it doesn't necessarily have to have those borders, and it's explicitly to do with the way in which the player is allowed to move thanks to the space that's been given. You can get rid of the borders, so you can't move around the buildings or some such, and it's just one main central area, and I would consider that to be a sandbox map. As opposed to
the pit to be a sandbox map?
Sorry?
No.
The pit? No, I wouldn't, because I don't think you're given the sufficient space to manipulate combat in that sort of wide open area.
Alfonso, I'm not specifically saying that everything has to be contained within a box, just that there has to be if you remove the borders and you just had a central area, then the buildings themselves would be the borders, and that central area would constitute the sandbox.
Huh. Pavaro, wow.
This is very deep. My brain is not quite suited to this.
Okay, well, what's your present understanding of the term?
My understanding of the term before we got into this discussion was literally like maps that you just kind of are let loose in, and you know that there's going to be an exit eventually, but you just kind of play in them until you're done.
Right.
You know, like containment area or the pit, or
I would agree with that, but at the same time, I think that that's more talking about how linear the map is.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think could you describe the same, just say non-linear, and then that would cover it?
Yeah, with a sandbox, I think Markaic actually said it right. It's the ability to access any area at any given time, so much as that you have a specific set-piece area, like the inside of a building, and you can get to that area at any time from the start, just by, like, staying within the confines of the
That's a pretty good
one area.
Yeah.
being able to access any area to
turn. Oh, I see. Okay, so like you start out in this, and you're just roaming this big area, but it's all the same area, and you can access any other point of the map from that one area.
Map 27 of Memento Mori. There's another sandbox map.
I'm also unfamiliar. Man, I am really uneducated.
Is it map 28 or map 27?
You are on map 27. The city of the undying, unavenged, something like that. Good map. Scary slime.
But I wouldn't count like corporate hell of Memento Mori 2 as a sandbox map, even though it does have large boxy areas.
Right. Interestingly enough, would you then consider Courtyard a sandbox map?
Yeah. The Courtyard itself, yeah, it's a sandbox, definitely.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Good.
Jeez, and see I was about to be like, no, I don't know about that one. Damn it.
Not speak until they pass judgment and then agree with whatever they say.
Pretty much.
Are there any other definitions before we move on that come to mind that perhaps you thought of before the episode started?
Well, how about the idea of, like, concept wads? Like, where pop up a lot, like the 100 Lines Project or, Doom 2 name only.
I was going to say that when he said concept, because some people just simply describe a map as being a concept map, without there being some sort of heavy gimmick attached to it, like 100 Lines or 10 Sector or something like that. I mean, I think it's a little weakly defined when somebody says something is a concept map. It has a clear, it has some sort of... Actually, this is where this line of thinking comes from. I was looking up some reviews of Hell Reveal 2 recently, and people were drawing the distinction between slaughter maps and concept maps. And they'd actually divide them into those two camps. And they would say, Hell Reveal 2 starts off concept maps, which then I looked at them, they're all small, clearly not sort of oriented. Then they go in that direction, and then they say it carries on being sort of maps at some point, and then around map 21, map 20, to map 23, it just goes back to being concept maps again. It's sort of smaller in size. And I took a look at those maps, and to me, the only thing that really stood out was the fact that they were small. They had a more clearly defined direction of what the author wanted to do with the map? I don't know. How would you define a concept map?
A concept map, and I think this is another description, linearity that the community often just throws around because actually explaining stuff would be a lot harder. And, I'm not saying that as a negative. I agree that, you can just say this map is linear or, and that says it feels linear, not like, oh, well, it's, your map's also linear because XXX. No, I definitely think that, using generic versions of terms in the community is not necessarily a bad thing. So I don't want to act like we're ranting about how the community should be.
No, it's just interesting to try and pin down.
Yeah.
Well, the company is doing when they say it is. I have no problem with the way in which the term linearity is used, for example, because we all know.
I don't know.
Someone what means when they. Well, we're trying.
We're just trying to whack philosophical.
Concept map. No, I think for a concept map, you have to have a clearly defined concept, and that's what the map's about. Wormhole is a concept map.
Wormhole. What about tricks and traps?
Tricks and Traps is a concept map.
Or the chasm, Fortress of Mystery.
Fortress of Mystery is a concept map.
What about Warrens? Because Warrens is like, oh, it's the E3M1.
Yes, no, that's all concept.
See, that's confusing me because I would say there's a gimmick maps.
A gimmick and a...
Good lord. Okay.
What's a concept map term. About? It's about a specific concept. What's a gimmick map about? A specific gimmick.
Yeah, that's gimmick. True. That's true. But I can't deny the fact that these words are being used differently.
Yes, I would say
that's what I was talking about Hell Revealed 2 specifically, because I was confused when I was looking at that map set and people make a distinction between half of the maps being concept and half of the maps being slaughter. The concept maps were simply ordinary maps to me. Very, very weak concepts, if any.
A concept map, if you think of a concept map in the same way as you think of a concept album or something like that, where instead of it just being a collection of maps that are there, all those maps have, a purpose for the way they're situated. One really small... What about the progressive fiction, set, where, every map kind of flows into the next, and they all
I'd
have...
I'd say that's a concept project made of individual maps that all follow the overarching concept. Now... In that way, those could be considered concept maps. I think that what Alfonso's getting at when people say that the first maps of Hell Revealed 2 are concept maps, that's one of those instances where I don't know how to talk about that because that's just not how I would define a concept
right.
map. Like, I can't think of any map in Hell Reveal 2 like that that I would consider a concept map, unless the concept was, like, a 3D bridge or some things. Like, I would consider map 29 of Hell Reveal 2 a concept map. It's just
right.
a gimmick.
I was thinking of that map specifically.
Yeah.
And further thinking of the distinction between concept maps and gimmick maps, I guess a gimmick map, just to attempt to try to segregate them all here in my head, a gimmick map would be the map would be more dependent or entirely dependent on that gimmick for its that's like its selling point. Where a concept map is a sort of all the way around in that it succeeds as a map in its own right, but it builds around some sort of loose and goddamn.
Pretty much they're the same thing. I know the community likes to distinguish that, but I can't make that break. A concept map and a gimmick map are the same thing. And if a concept map and a gimmick map are treated differently, like if you say, well, this is a gimmick map, not a concept map, no, then it's just a bad concept map.
Well, I mean, you have maps like Shadowman's maps. And then you have Void. It's like defining concept map,
right.
I would say. The Sky May Be.
The Sky May Be is a concept map. I'd say that Void is, like, there's a distinction not in what it actually is, concept map, gimmick map, between something like Void and Tricks and Traps, but merely the technology that's used in it. That Tricks and Traps and Void are equally successful as concept maps. It's just that Void was made with a more advanced port with more
right.
advanced features, and Tricks and Traps was made by Sandy Peterson in probably 2 hours.
Okay. Sorry, just to clarify here, are you using concept and gimmick interchangeably, or are you actually
yes.
like looking at Void and saying, to me that suggests more of a concept map than a gimmick map?
Well, a gimmick is just a concept.
You're not more inclined to say concept. At any point.
I think gimmick map is just somebody referring to mainly a concept map they don't like. Like, generally you hear the term gimmick used like, I don't like Doom 2, it's got too many gimmicky maps.
A gimmick map would be something like Nirvana, where it's like three separate ideas that are just kind of teleported together. That's gimmicky.
Yeah, but it's still a concept map. It's three separate concepts.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say that you can kind of interchange the terms because... Fuck it, why not?
Okay. Let's go to prong number... Fucking so nihilistic. Prong numero dos once again. Because we were talking with, rather, myself and Matt, of course, were talking with Adam Windsor in the interview, and he was discussing different project leadership and goals of different projects and the more specific or gimmick. Oriented these days than they were in the past, where he would say with something like Memento Mori 2, it's just make Doom maps, guys. I guess we'll sort of loosely associate them maybe as a team, that sort of thing. And that it's far, 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 far more specific. And back then, I guess, you wouldn't have had many, if any, genres or labels at all. And they've sort of evolved and accumulated and multiplied as time has gone on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Other than
I
completely said. I mean, are you seeing a trend there? Can you like anticipate where that might go in the future? Like, would it?
Oh, absolutely not.
Absolutely.
I have no idea where it's going
to
go.
It almost seems to me like the future is just at this point more silly community projects with like even more goofy constraints.
Yeah, I really don't know where it's going to go in the future because I would agree that. There weren't labels and whatnot back in the day simply because when Doom mapping first started off, it by nature had to be experimental.
Yes.
I mean, there was nothing, you know, nowadays you can look at stuff that people have already done and went, well, I want to make more of that. Like, you know, I want to make Plutonia maps or I want to make that. And, you know,
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The reason that I raised this point specifically about how these sort of genres have been, appearing where before there were none is partly linked to the point that I was making when we get to the tail end of our slaughter map discussion when we were saying when you map with a certain genre in mind like, I imagine, like, it, as we continue to make more subgenres in the future, as I anticipate we might do, again, that sort of thing, just looking at trends from past to present, I think personally that would become more of a problem, having a sort
genre in mind
as you're mapping, and then...
I don't make maps with a certain genre in mind at all. I just sit down and open Doom Builder, and I start building a map the way I think a map should be built. And, like, I mean, heck, when we talk about each other's maps, we just say Tarn's maps, or Fon's maps, or Essel maps, or Favera maps, you know, or whatever. Like, we don't sit and try to categorize them as, like, what genre they are. The genre is the author's name.
Well, no. I mean, I guess we're a more tight-knit bunch, but I'm at the community at large does do that. They do pigeonhole maps into be a certain genre.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if I was to have to label, like, what genre is my map, I don't know. It's mine. I just built it. I put monsters in it.
Right, okay. I mean, for you and me and certainly a few others, that's the case. But people do, I think, map with a genre in mind when they're putting cursor to grid, I think, to say. And I'm just anticipating, I think, that there might be a problem when subgenres are being invented and getting more defined, and more tropes are coming about when you're speaking.
Right. I can see where you're going, like, where...
Think of, like, film. Like,
it's getting narrower and more generic, like, and more pigeonholed right into... But again, I guess that might not be a problem, because then there are enough maps to suit everyone's tastes, and you can afford to be...
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Like, going to, like, how Favera defines maps, like, think, like, Coen Brothers films. Like, just dramas? Like,
no,
like
Burton-esque.
Like, Doom maps? They really don't have, like, a specific, like... They're just whatever the fuck they felt like making. It's a Coen Brothers film.
Their own genre.
It's a Favera map. Like, in that way, yeah. But at the same time, then you have, like, an Adam Sandler comedy. It's clearly a clearly defined genre, but there are still people who make whatever they feel like, despite, you know, there being a surplus of shit comedies or Saw-esque horror movies or whatever. I think it's, you know, not to, you know... Well, I am going to say that you're just... shitty taste if you like those things, but people do.
Jack and
Jill. In my mind, they're terrible films, and, you know, I'm gonna say they're terrible films and say your taste is bad for liking them, in the same way that you should say my taste is bad for not liking what you like.
Okay.
No, but, so that's kind of how I think the distinction is that there is a generic, if we want to use that term, like, just, it's a Doom map. And I'd say I map for just that generic, I want to make a Doom map. It probably is going to be concept-driven, but it's mainly going to be a Doom map. And, you know, Favera likes to make the same type of thing. We like to make a Doom map, whereas somebody likes to make a Slaughter map, or somebody else likes to make a whatever, I don't know.
Okay, another big term I'm going to throw out here, because... Adam Windsor, Capellan. I'm more tempted to use that term because I don't know how to that word because I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Capellan. Anyway, he mentioned the term classic on interview with him, which I called him out on when I mentioned Doom 2's gameplay, and then I sort of realized as I was talking about Doom 2 that it's actually a very niche way of mapping. Like, you don't see many maps in the Doom 2 style. It's
classic,
more like almost more like Doom 1 sort of design. Obviously with heavier sort of height variation and the like, but the gameplay more specifically, but with the Doom 2 Bestrian elements. What would you consider to be classic, however?
Classic genre? Trying to emulate the styles in the past. Like, yeah. I think that...
And which one succeeded in that case?
Oh, well, okay. Something like Vax Xenon X, nobody would ever call it a classic Megawad, but I think because of how, like, it was designed. Essel wanted to make the Darkening too, but just more. Mm. And, you know, that's why it has all new textures and all that, just because of whatever. At least that's from how I understand it. Mm-hmm. I'd say that was something that's definitely started in the vein of making a classic map set. Now, it definitely has modern polish, so you can't apply that. But if I was to be like, I'm going to make a bunch of new textures and I'm going to make a map set and it's going to kind of look like it came from 96, that'd be classic. It's, you know, Doom the way it did's classic. A bunch of E1 replacements are classic. No End in Sight, I'd consider that a classic Megawad. It's all about emulating the visual style, level of cleanliness. Like, I don't know, just making map sets that if you were to play this in 95, 96, you wouldn't be like, oh, okay, that's a thing, you know. If you were to play Vanguard in fucking, I don't know, 2000, you'd be like, holy shit, what is this? If you were to play frickin' Community Chess 4 in 2000, you'd be like, holy fuck, what is this?
Yeah. If you were to I also think that the word classic gets commonly, like, kind of misconstrued as maps that are, like, not good in a sense. Like you'll see someone put a screenshot that's, like, very, very visually
very
basic,
bad,
but also
sort of stuff.
But also not even in, like, any interesting way, but it kind of gets brushed off as, well, it's classic style. And
that term is sort of like evolving in that direction? Because I have noticed that term is being used that way.
It almost seems to be
recently.
Like turning into an umbrella term that's just growing, like the word, like classic rock, where it's just like, oh, first it was 60s rock, then it was 70s, now it's 80s, and now we're starting to hear REM on classic rock stations. And, like, you know, it's like turning into, like, this classic umbrella of any map that is just, you know, stock textury.
Not to put words into Adam's mouth, but I felt that he was making a sort of categorizing in his mind between those that are gimmick maps and those that are classic maps, and it sort of got me to thinking, again, not that that's really his outlook on how maps should be categorized or are categorized for him, but I do get to thinking that if something can't be, to the mind of many, like, put into a certain genre, subgenre, They simply call it a classic map and be done with it, and speak more about just it's a standard map. It doesn't have any standout
standard map.
It's just
regular. That's a good way to put it. And you know, my perfect example of like the standard map would be like anything that and he does it very well. And this is not an insult in any way. Like anything that like Memphis puts out.
Okay.
His maps have this very, like, you know, standard, this is a very solid map style to them.
Right.
You know, he's not going for frills. He's not, you know, changing the sky texture. Or really, most of the time, his maps are very stock textured, and they're just very competent, always fun to play, you know. And
fun by the numbers map sort of thing?
Yeah, fun by the numbers, you know, really nice, you know, maps. It's like a good song, you know. You hear a good song. It's pretty standard. It doesn't try to be anything more than what it is, but it's great. And you're just like, wow, I can get into this.
With that, I think there is a distinction between classic and standard. Like standard, like I would never look at a Memphis map and say it's classic because again, you know, Vera bemoaned the fact that, you know, when somebody says classic rock, they keep, you know, incorporating newer stuff into it. Well, that's what's going to happen, because classic just means from the past. So, you know, nowadays, something that was released in the 80s is classic. You know, you have to determine where in your mind that cutoff is. You know, I'd call it 80s before I'd call it classic. To me, something that's classic has to be from, like, the beginning almost, to where, like, you know, Beethoven and stuff, that's classical music.
Right.
Whereas, like, classic rock for me would have to be, you know, 50s and 60s. Maybe nowadays we can start incorporating the 70s.
I cut it off at, like, 75. Maybe 79 if you really want to stretch it.
But anyways, yeah, so when that you say classic, you know, I think there's, if somebody makes a bare bones map that visually looks like it could be in 1994, it is a classic map. Now, there's good classic and there's bad classic, just like there's a good slaughter map and there's a bad slaughter map. I mean, I dislike slaughter maps, but I'm going to assume that, you know, slaughter map aficionados would be like, oh, this is a good slaughter map, or oh, this is a bad slaughter map.
Well, like, it almost kind of makes me wonder, though, like, if you say that classic is anything from the past, but, like, does that mean,
well, like, if I was classic, to make a map set that was, like, very clearly inspired by John Romero's texture usage and whatnot, and look to emulate that. Not necessarily a Romero-style map, but something like No End in Sight. Yeah, an idiotic map. But something like No End in Sight. No End in Sight, I would call classic. Like, if I look at it, it evokes the feeling of stuff made in that era. obviously it has modernisms thrown in, but it definitely is striving to be a classic style map set.
The renaissance of classic.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's like when, you know, an aging classic rock band comes back and puts a new album out, you know, like Lynyrd Skynyrd or AC/DC or whatever, and it's still considered classic rock because they were it's a band under the classic rock umbrella.
Right.
But, like, when another band comes along and kind of emulates that sound, you know, that, like, heavy blues, you know, Cream, Zeppelin sound or whatever... they're not considered classic rock. They're just rock.
Right. Are there any figures in the Doom community that sort of mirror this point? Like, if any map that Adam Windsor makes, would you consider that to be an immediate classic? Since he's come back from it.
Again, it's about the composition. I mean, like, at least in my mind, if the Eagles or Tom Petty or somebody releases a new album, it's like, oh, it's the new Tom Petty. I would label it as rock, not as classic rock. Just like if Adam Windsor made a map, it's just a map. It's an Adam Windsor map. Now, if Adam Windsor made a map in the style of Adam Windsor in 1996, that'd be a classic map. It's about how the map, like, the components that go into it. Okay.
I'm increasingly beginning to think at this point that to call a map classic is not to speak of any aspect of a design, but how it's been cemented in time by those who've regarded it.
If you call a specific map classic, as in the map is classic, yes. If you call the style of the map classic, then okay. It's about the style of the map.
Okay. Right, like, so, Fava Beans is a classic, Doom 2 the way it did is a classic style map set.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's a pretty easy distinction to make. I mean, for me, otherwise, it's pretty clear-cut, if we're to speak of the style of classic mapping. But there's also a massive void between what I consider to be a classic map and a classic style map, and what the community is increasingly using the word to mean. And we've seen examples with what Pereira said there, with it being increasingly difficult to call a map that looks kind of shoddy, shall we say.
It's about style versus will the map be regarded as a classic. Now, yeah, if you make a map that looks like crap, you can be like, well, it's a classic style map. Okay, that's a legitimate point. That doesn't mean that it's going to be regarded as a classic. It'll be, oh, that's a bad classic style map.
Uh-huh.
I think that, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, just like how you can have bad rock bands, you know, and they're still rock bands. we're doing a lot of music analogies.
Yeah. Well, we got to speak about genres.
Doom is an art form. You know, I will say that mapping for Doom is an artistic expression. And, you know, what's true for one type of art is generally true for any other type of art, unless it's, you know, like, comparing movies to, like, I don't know, a painting.
Traditional painting.
Yeah, because you're talking about, you know,
traditional painting is a genre anyway, so...
Have we had a discussion about Doom as an art form? Has there been that?
No, but it's been at least if anybody wants to argue
upon,
it.
But it's an interesting topic that could.
I mean, could you argue that it's more of a craft than an art, if anything, like pottery?
I would consider pottery art. I would consider woodsman like or not woodsman, woodworking art. It's an artistic expression. Now, like you could be making something generic and like useful, like like, I'm going to make a cabinet for somebody to use is the woodworking equivalent of I'm going to make a summer blockbuster generic action movie. It's
okay.
Not experimental. Like, you could be experimental with your woodworking, or you could just, you know...
Well, incidentally, I wouldn't call that art.
Right, I guess it depends on...
I don't think art is dependent on quality. I think art
I would call
is
that business.
Business? Business can be art. I just think art is dependent on... you know, the actual process, you know, it's an artistic expression.
Oh.
Now, there's good and shit, and I think that's the bigger distinction between, you know, whether something is something or it isn't has nothing to do with whether it's good or not, because I think whether it's good or not is it a good X or is it a bad X?
Uh-huh. I think we'll conserve the art discussion for another episode.
I think that applies directly to Doom labels. Like, if I was to make a...
Does it? I mean, do we ever regard a map as being artful?
I've never really regarded...
No, not so much art, but, like, what I'm saying about how something just is art regardless of quality. Like, if I made a map that was a terrible Doom 2 the Way It Did map, but it was still something that 90% of it, like, you could say, okay, that is definitely an attempt at this, it's just a bad attempt.
But, I mean, we're talking about labels and genres within Doom, not whether, I mean...
Well, I think that as a broader, you know...
Unless you're prepared to say, of course, that there are certain approaches to making a map that could be regarded as making art and others which aren't. Like in the sense that I, like the sense in the sense that I say that making a generic Michael Bay style blockbuster action film is not an art but business. I mean, could you make a distinction there for making?
Oh, I would say that every Doom map is art, but I would say that there's definitely an avant-garde style of Doom mapping.
Okay.
I just have a hard time, like, because I've always felt that. You know, art is something that is perceived subjectively by in the eye of the beholder, where you look at it, you see something beautiful, and that's okay, because it just is. It's art, you know? But someone else will look at it and be like, well, this is garbage.
And that's why I'm saying that Doom maps are, like, no matter how you feel about the quality, that it's art, because that's exactly what Doom maps are. And there are so many...
But you said there are things that are objectively wrong.
But there isn't...
There are, like, if I was to say, you know, this map is not boxy, and it's boxy, that's objectively wrong.
Right, well, yeah, absolutely. Like, there, you can say, like, oh, well, that's a square. That is a painting of a square. But you can't... But can you really say this painting of a square is objectively bad?
Oh, I would say it's objectively bad, but that's because I'm an opinionated asshole. I mean, it's entirely subjective.
Right.
Now,
could you say, I mean, but at the same time, a map, if you had a map that's just a square with four imps in it, like, that map is
That would be the
best.
Equivalent
it's
of
not...
an Eve Klein art exhibition, where he's literally got one shade of blue with a handprint on it.
Yes, but
or paper cuts in a sculpture.
In terms
that's,
of like
that, that's held
perceive.
In the same regard as a quality painting would be.
Oh yes, yes.
It falls into the same realm of art, but you wouldn't accept it as a Doom map, a box with four imps in it.
that's just about you know
a box with imps in it. However, is a different story.
But like. There's definitely, like, Time of Death maps or Natural 20 maps where they have a very specific, non-compromising vision, and I would consider them, like, the avant-garde mappers of the Doom community.
Uh-huh.
They generally tend to do things that most people would be like, yeah, can we not? Like, I know most people generally would not make an E4 M2 with 641 monsters in it.
Uh-huh.
But Natural 20 would.
Well, that guy, if Doom is considered an art in any way, then Natural 20 is an artist. That man is unafraid.
We have time for one more label here before we call it. I mean, of course, there are so many more that we could discuss. I guess we could do like a part two, part three. Like,
honestly, I'm surprised at how much discussion this topic has garnered, because it really seemed thin going into it.
Is that so?
Yeah, to me personally, well, I didn't know how much I would have to say about it, but it seems like. You know,
and Pavera, with your big bushy beard, I would have assumed that you were wise. Got words
wise.
Enough to know that this discussion would have. Yes. One
more.
I mean, again, sorry, Tonsman, and acting as overseer of Tango TV's program, but I must insist that we move on from art and leave that discussion to a separate episode entirely. And
I'm not
going to talk over the top of you and say that abstract. Which I guess you'll like, because it is a sort of certain kind of art. We use that word anyway.
Abstract mapping, although abstract mapping, it's another thing where when we talk about genres and labels, there is a very large amount of overlap when it comes to Doom mapping. Like, a map can be abstract and a concept map and a slaughter map all at the same time. Map 5 of Sunder. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that with Doom... abstract is kind of hard to pull off. Things that have done it well would be something like Lost Episode by Zazer.
Huh.
Is that something I would call abstract?
Wouldn't call that.
I mean,
okay. So
I'm thinking of abstract in a totally different way.
Yes, absolutely in a totally different way to you, because I was going to say surreal, and I was about to like the way that we regard abstract in comparison to Surreal is like almost as similar as we regard concept maps and similar to gimmick maps. Like you're saying Caesar's Lost Episode, and I was about to say that inherently Doom is something that leans towards being abstract anyway. I would consider Episode 1 to be an abstract episode.
Oh, yes. No. I would consider Doom as a whole as abstract, but because you're dealing with something that starts out as abstract, it's mainly the surreal things we define as abstract.
Okay. I see where you're going with that, yeah.
Because, I mean, when you're talking about Doom, using the term abstract would be like using the term linear. You know, you have to narrow it down to where, yes, everything is this, but this is more so than the competition, if you want to use it that way. But, so, like, this is more abstract, so I, you know, I'm going to call this abstract versus, like, yeah, E1M1 is an abstract map. I mean, at no point does it resemble what the fuck it's supposed to resemble, but... You know, that's the
maybe
charter.
Kind of looks like a radio tower to the left, maybe, if you have that sort of imagination.
If you have that sort of imagination. But, yeah, so it's all about how relative the abstractness of whatever you're making is. So, generally, the best way to be abstract beyond the abstractness that Doom already has is to be surreal. And okay. I think that...
So, perhaps we should just drop the use of the word abstract and just start saying surreal right now. Because it's confusing me. Because I have a tiny brain.
There's surreal, and then there's another type of abstract, which is applies to the gameplay. And I would consider Natural 20's game, or not Natural 20,
okay.
Time of Death's gameplay to be abstract.
Pavera, I would say that we shouldn't drop the term abstract, certainly because time has allowed us to create enough subdivisions such that abstract is now not necessarily the norm. Well, it is, I guess, for many people. But I mean, we have TNT style, like Doom furniture and the like, and a map that's in that style you would consider to be I'm taking like the specific Doom furniture from it. But you have entire maps that some people will make that are based around that, looking realistic, like a Sergeant Mark City map or some such. You wouldn't call that abstract
to any. No matter what. Just does not work in the Doom engine. I just
there are a few examples where I think the using realistic style and stuff in
monochrome
mapping project.
But it's not
the cubicles and stuff are definitely cubicles, but they work there mainly because they're not.
Oh yeah, I mean they work, but even then, like it's like a surreal take on a realistic setting.
Yes, I would agree with that, and then I would also say that TNT is abstract still, and that maps that are not abstract, like the super real maps that Alfonso is referring to, they're more like referring to abstract in Doom, to where they're outside the norm.
Well, here's one. I mean, there seems to have been a resurgence in surrealism in mapping, with like Beyond Reality was one of those sets that was advertised as, you know, being utterly surreal.
That's an interesting
Which, personally, I...
Didn't think was.
Really didn't think was. I thought it was just kind of random. Just like, here just a bunch of shit. And
I agree.
It's surreal.
I would agree, yeah.
As opposed to something that was... Oh, God, fuck. What was that thing called that Do really liked? I can't think of it. Kill Frenzy? Something like that?
Kill Frenzy, yeah. Kill
Frenzy?
Kill Frenzy. No,
I think it was called Kill Frenzy, and that was truly surreal. Like, that was, it was just these, like, big, like, crazy maps that you could really jump up and down in and go all over the place, and
that's
to me, that was, like...
That's as the announcer?
I don't know. Is it? Maybe.
Yeah, Kill Frenzy, I would agree with Pavera on that. I think that surreal... That's another one that, like, linearity is so subjective that it's not going to be one that the Doom community will ever come down with, like, a concrete, this is this. I think Slaughter maps are mainly the ones that are labeled the most, because despite Alfonso's best efforts to keep me from talking about, I think, like, stuff like Plutonian is one that the community just, like, assigns their own meaning to, like... Because what I consider a Plutonia map is totally different than what the community considers a Plutonia map.
Right.
Because, I mean, like, when you tell a community to make a Plutonia map, there's going to be, like, 300 monsters in it and whatnot. Whereas when you tell me to make a Plutonia map, it's going to be, like, Wicked Garden from Plutonia Revisited. Because 90% of the Plutonia maps didn't break 100 monsters and were very specific with their monster usage.
Incidentally, Jonathan, how many monsters were in your speed mapping attempt last week, 2 weeks ago, for Plutonium? Not Plutonium map.
100, I think.
Oh, really? Well, that case, very successful.
He broke 100. Well, he matched 100.
I think only 3 maps in Plutonium break 200.
Wow. I carried the same misconception, but it's also because I just really have never played Plutonia all that much.
Plutonia's my favorite IWOS, so.
Well, I think that just about covers it for today. I mean, as I say, there are many more topics we could discuss, many more things. I think we've done a pretty good job, honestly, of covering these ones. A bit hairy to start with linearity. That is a very tricky one, I think. Next fortnight will be discussion on project leadership.
All right.
And that will be with SL4TM, Alfonso, and the Green Herring. And it will involve me, an actual project leader in real life, bitching at them for being terrible project leaders.
Almost. We'll get a glimpse, an insight into the realm of one townsman of gore. Don't look it up. It's actually Neville. Now that I told you, of course, you probably will. So stay tuned next fortnight. We'll be talking about project leadership. This has been Tango TV's episode 9 of Program B with Bavera and Cortazman. Danke schön.